for dinner? What's for dinner? What's for dinner? Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.
The
numbers are going, and we're sounding
so
good.
So are we. We are going down the road.
Welcome, guys, to, I think this is episode 103, 104. Amazing.
Yeah, somewhere in the ones.
We're in the 100s, honey.
I love it.
We've hit the centennial.
Centurions? I don't know.
That was a cartoon series from the 80s, honey.
Was it all 100-year-old people?
No, it was a...
Oh, they were all horse, half-horse people?
No, that'd be Centaurians.
No, centaur. Centaur? It's pronounced, depends on where you are in the country.
Yes, but it's in, I think...
No, centaur.
Is it centurion? Centaur. Does that mean somebody who hits 100? Are they called centurions? Because it was also a cartoon.
Centogenarians?
Octogenarian is 80,
well, like,
right?
Octogenarian, exactly. So nonagenarian would be 9, maybe?
Centigenarian?
Whatever.
Tenagenarian?
Welcome to What's for Dinner.
Yes, Allison and I are in the car right now. Another road version of What's for Dinner. We are coming back from a wonderful weekend we had with some other comedians.
Oh,
we rented
goodness,
a
so fun.
House up in the mountains in San Bernardino. Actually, no, Lake Arrowhead.
Lake Arrowhead. We did 3 nights. Excuse me. And
wow.
It was amazing. I know. I'm sorry. I'm still getting over the food.
I'm impressed that you said excuse me. Because as beautiful as Allison is, she has the manners of a trucker.
You know, as funny as my mom would, like, kill me because she always taught me good manners. But I don't know. If gas comes out of me, do I need to excuse that gas came out of me?
Yes, it's the polite thing to do. Unless it's just you and me, and then we giggle.
Yeah, I guess I was with friends that I felt were like family.
But it's not like you only do it this weekend. There are many times.
I will learn to do it. I will learn to be a lamb.
I usually say excuse me even when I'm by myself. It's just a force of habit.
Yeah, I don't. That's not what I
do. I have noticed.
I tend to burp and just continue talking.
Your burps add like just an insane syllable. So anyway, I was walking down the street.
That's exactly what it sounds like.
That's exactly.
So speaking of that voice and the mountains, I just want to say that it's amazing that somehow us ladies, while hiking, found a coach store.
Yeah, this is just the epitome of roughing it, and then the L.A. part of...
The L.A. part. We're like, oh my God, look at this cute little village. Let's look at cute little thrift stores and little, like, tchotchke stores and stuff. Wait, is that a coach outlet? We're all going in. Well, I have to honestly say, for all of our lady listeners, and they know about the fine craftsmanship of Coach
craftsmanship?
Brand. The craftsmanship of the Coach brand. We found a Coach outlet where literally it was 50% off in the clearance section. Then they would take an additional 30% off of that price, and then they would take an additional 20% off of that price. So it was like it ended up being like roughly like 70% off of like the main price. Amazing. Amazing. For Coach materials. Amazing.
It was pretty... look, Allison is not a big clothes or accessory buyer.
No.
I'm aware of that.
No.
But
I go to thrift stores and I buy $5 purses.
So do I. Like, I'm not a big shopper either.
He buys $5 purses and they look great on him.
They look fab. But when they were talking about the discount over there, I'm like, you know what? That's a really good deal. And Allison should have some, like, a nice bag.
I was saying the whole time, I was like, I'm a grown-up now.
But see, what you know what grown-ups do is they don't constantly go around saying, I'm a grown-up now. 8-year-olds do that when they turn 9.
Well, in my mind, that's how I feel. Like, here's the thing. I've never been the kind of girly girl that ever cares about purchasing, I mean, pretty much anything that would be considered girly. Makeup, purses, clothes. Like, I go clothes shopping once every 3 years. I go to Ross. I grab 10 or 15 articles of something. I try them on at home because I don't try shit on in stores. I feel weird about that. I don't like
Why
being
do you
in
feel
small
weird about
because it's a small enclosed space, and I have a back problem, and having to constantly bend and take on and off pants in a small enclosed space, it's just,
you know, they have benches in there where you can
it
sit.
Doesn't, but
do
it's just the fact that I have no room. Like, it's an enclosed space.
Then you know what? I got the solution. What? You go shopping naked. That way you don't have to worry about taking anything off, just putting on.
It's still, when I try things, I'm not gonna take them off.
I still think you should be naked in public.
Well, I love you. Maybe one day for you.
Okay.
But, no. Honestly, it's just I take things home, then I try them on, and whatever doesn't fit, which is usually only like maybe 2 or 3 out of the 15 items, I'm pretty good about judging it on the rack. But I would return them and call it a day for 3 years. That would be my clothes. And what's funny is anytime I have a nice piece of clothing and somebody gives me a compliment on it, it's guaranteed I didn't purchase it. It was a hand-me-down. I have a lot of very stylish friends that go through their closets every 6 months, and they're like, hey, you want this jacket? You want this shirt? You want this pants? Yes, 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 yes. Even if it doesn't fit, I'm like, yes, just give it to me. So the fact of the matter that I don't ever do anything nice for myself. My Lammy sweet husband was like, baby, let's go to the Coach store and let's buy you some nice things.
And we
for
did.
For 70% off.
No, it was cool, and it was just a really wonderful weekend.
It really was.
Like, you know, it's funny, I was feeling like I've told you this before, like my parents have been married for going on 41 years.
Oh, it's beautiful. Oh, I think they just passed 41.
Yeah, they just did. And they have like some really close friends, like friends that they've known for probably as long as they've been married. And as a kid, I remember, us all going down vacations together, and, you know, me and my brother and their kids would kind of, like, hang out in their room. And I'd see my parents and, you know, and their friends just playing cards or talking or bullshitting. And I just always thought that was so cool. And I'm realizing, like, you and I have those friends now. We have couple friends that we go away with. And, you know, none of us have kids yet. And I'm sure when we do, we're going to start gravitating toward couples with kids.
Yeah.
You know? Hopefully, though, we'll all kind of have kids at the same time so we can all still hang out. But
I think the group we were with this time, that's pretty much, yeah. That we were, because we're all in the same age range and we're all in the same career mindset where we're not ready for children yet. So we're probably going to be a tiny bit of the late bloomer kid havers, but that means that we'll be all within a couple years of each other.
Did you say late bloomer kid havers?
That is the technical term, I believe, for...
See, it's funny. Allison has... You have such a vocabulary to where I now understand what you mean, but to a layman person, you sound like you just learned English. like you're a foreigner without an accent.
Look,
late
I
bloomer kid havers, yes?
I speak good. I speak very good. I like to know how to speak very good.
You need to go back to school.
Excuse me, first of all...
You need to go back to school.
When I want to sit down and be an adult, I have a very good vocabulary. But when I am just hanging out with my lamb, I like to just be silly pants. And silly pants means don't finish your sentences.
Is that what silly pants means?
Yep.
Because silly pants means a lot of things, as does lamb, bear, moo, and ree.
Lamb, bear, moo, ree. See, this is even weirder because... this is almost like we're just talking in the car, and there's no real direction. When we're at the house in the studio/living room, we are always able to look at each other and focus on what was happening. Yes, this is about to go out for people to listen, and I'm not paying any attention to it. I'm like, let me just open my mouth and talk.
That's what you normally do.
Okay.
All right.
All right, babe.
So it was a wonderful weekend.
It really was.
Yeah, hoping that all of you, our loyal friends and listeners, have friends like that too. You know, have those friends you just hang out with and you go away with, and there's no pretense, and you don't have to, be on your best behavior so much. You know, you could just, suppose, you know, as long as you say excuse me when you burp or fart.
I didn't do any of those things. Although I did excuse myself and went outside to fart. Somebody made chili one of the nights. Oh, my God.
Oh,
it was chili.
God.
Caused all of us
what
to be gross.
What is it about chili that
it's
tastes so good going in, but fuck you going out? Just like your, like my ass was like vomiting.
I don't think people want to hear about that.
Well.
It was nicely implied. Once you said chili, once you said we ate chili... the asshole situation.
Let's just say my little asshole in the toilet had a nice little shit chat.
Let's just say it's just a spicy going in is going out.
Yes.
Terrible.
Yes, so you were reeking with your butt.
We were all pretty reeky.
But anyway, it was a wonderful time. So what's new with you, honey? Let's shift gears away from poop, chili, and weekends.
What's new?
What is new with you, hon? Because you and I have not had a chance to talk for a little while.
Been doing lots of traveling and being sick. Yeah, when we got back from El Paso, I was still sort of sick. And, yeah, now I'm about to be out of town again. Whenever this goes out, this is going out tomorrow?
This is going out, I believe so, yes.
So, this weekend I'm going to do some shows. To any of our Fresno listeners, I will be up there co-headlining with the hilarious Jen Murphy, this weekend,
in
Friday
Fresno.
Night, Fresno.
Nice.
Ooh, what is the locale?
Okay,
shit. Anyways, whatever.
Whatever.
Part of the matter, yeah, I'm doing that. And then going to go do some gallivanting around Florida, go on a cruise with my baby.
That's right.
My baby is
I'm about to
working
go,
cruises.
About to go to Florida to do 3 weeks on a cruise ship. And this is going to be interesting because if you are loyal listeners out there, you know that I did one podcast from the ship. When I was there a few months ago with Patrick Keane, which was fun. But this cruise now is... because the cruise that we did was the inaugural cruise, and it wasn't a full boat, and our shows were a little weird. The schedule was definitely not what it normally is. So this is my first time going in on a full, normal, regular scheduled cruise. And I'm excited, and I don't want to say nervous, but I'm definitely going into this... blind in a sense, you know, like I'm familiar with the little familiar with the ship now, familiar with the club, but now as far as how the shows are really going to be with full rooms and, you know, definitely watch what we're saying, it's going to be a different experience, but I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Yeah, then what's going to be extra fun is that of those 3 weeks, which are all a repeated trip, right, it's mm-hmm. all the same path. I get to go on the second week.
Yes, along with my parents.
I was going to say, and his
and my
family.
Aunt and uncle.
Yes, yeah. And their friends.
I don't know what it is about, like...
this family loves cruises, so much so that if you say, hey, one of us are going on a cruise, they're like, let's just
well,
all
let's
go.
All rent out the boat with our entire family.
And they could. Don't let them fool you. The Schultz clan, they're like bunnies. The Schultz, Wynn, Aaron family... Is that? Yeah, that's all of them.
Oh, there are so many more.
There's so many more, I know.
Yes, no, my family is very big. Big Jewish family.
They're like bunnies. But anywho, so, yeah, that's going to be so much fun. And then yeah. When I'm done with that, yeah, God, man, I'm barely home. My poor kitties are never going to see us. I go to New York for a little bit and then go to Alaska with the Flipperoni.
Yeah, going back to AK, that should be fun, too.
Oh, man. Chilkoots is always fun.
Let me ask you a question here, baby doll.
Let me answer a question for
you. I want you to answer this question as I ask it. Because you and I were almost married for 3 years.
Yes.
It's coming up in a couple of months.
Yes.
Been together over 5.
Yeah.
Now, this is the longest relationship I've ever had in my life. Before Allison, my longest, I'm not kidding, 8 months.
Yep.
My two longest were 8 months, almost exactly to the day they started and to the day they ended, Valentine's Day, sad, frowny face. So this is my longest relationship, and your almost longest relationship, about
yes.
half a year from being to tying your longest?
My longest was 6 years, like almost to the day, so...
Okay, so a little less than a year, and then I will have been your longest relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
What has been the most surprising thing about being in a relationship with me? Because I can ask my two exes, and one of them I don't even talk to. The other one I doubt she'll even remember details because it's been so long. But
you mean the most surprising thing now or the most surprising thing when we started dating?
No, it's the most surprising thing now, being with me over 5 years. As the only woman in history to ever do this.
Well, I was going to say, like... It's nothing is surprising now. What do you mean? Like,
Well, I mean, over the 5 years, the most surprising thing
was the small amount of time you'd been with women before that. But let me know, like, because it's been sort of a learning experience. Here's the thing. I come from long relationships where I was in two long relationships from the time I was a kid. And when I became an adult, that's when I started dating. When I was, like, when I moved to California about 24, 25, that's when I started dating. So I was used to long relationships. And with Flipper, with you not being used to long relationships, because 8 months, I think everybody knows this, is when you finally start to, like, be in that kind of dating situation where you're, like, becoming official, like, really, like, boyfriend, girlfriend, long-term status.
Right.
Like, 8 months is still, like, 6 months is still within, like, the new fresh dating. Like, I've been dating this person for, like, 6 months, you know. That's when you decide if you're going to be in a relationship. So there's not a lot that you see of the other person in the beginning. We were all pretty good about, you know, putting on our best face.
But
as soon as we start being in, like, a main relationship, that's when we recognize. So I just, I for a long time, I was noticing that I had to be patient, that just you didn't know about how a long relationship
works.
Wait, so
that was surprising or that was frustrating?
Well, it's surprising. I mean, it's surprising that,
So you were surprised by how little I knew about being in a relationship.
Well, yeah. What else would I be surprised about? I mean, you haven't surprised me with anything else.
There
now that I know who you are.
There hasn't been a pleasant surprise?
Oh, the pleasant surprise is how sweet of a lamb you are and how quickly you've adapted to being in a long relationship. No, sweet surprise. We love each other, and that's amazing. And every time, you know, we're learning this relationship. That's the thing also, is like people that are in long relationships, sometimes they work when they're long and sometimes they don't work. And it's all in how well you work together. So it's been a pleasant surprise that we work very well together, even when we fight.
I was thinking about it. To me, that I think is the most surprising thing is because I remember with my exes and with every other girl that I seem to have dated, whenever there was some kind of big fight, there was never recovery. It's just it's like this tension just loomed in the air. And with the other, with my like actual past relationships, part of the reason it was never resolved was that I was such a chicken shit, and I just went, oh, it'll fix itself, and I, you know, we never talked about it, and it just, like I said, it never got fixed. It was always there, and then the relationships, you know, was just falling apart. With you, it's like we fight, but then we talk and we say what we need to say, and then life goes on, and a minute later we're happy and joking again. And
yeah.
That's the most pleasant surprise, is that fights don't destroy anything. If anything, they might break it down for a second, but then help rebuild it stronger.
See, that's why to me that wasn't surprising, because that's what you do in a long relationship.
Well,
in order to make it work.
That.
And so, see, this is perfectly why the two surprises are coming from those two angles. I'm surprised at how little you know, but it's only because you had no experience.
Right.
I am not surprised that we get over fights, because it's a two-person thing. I have luckily dealt that both of my past relationships, when we fought, we did have a good way of getting out of it. Maybe it's the inner psychologist in me. I always want to, like, talk through things. And, you know, whenever we've had fun, we fight less frequently about the most important things, and we fight much more often about the stupidest things.
About the less important thing, absolutely.
And once we realize that the stupid thing is the stupid thing, we both quietly just go and we, like, deal with it in ourselves, and then we just talk about something else, and it's gone. Because
yeah.
It's stupid. We can't even remember what it was about. Like, I think the most recent thing I remember is we were in a fight about, I was upset, which is a stupid thing to be upset about, that he closed the trash bag sooner than it was for space reasons. There was more space in it, but yet he fully closed it and, like, double knotted it when there was tons of space left. And I was like, wait, there's more space. Blah, 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 blah. And we, like, got in this big old fight. And then I sat back and went, wait, am I really yelling at him? Because he closed it. Okay, so there's a little bit less space. Okay, whatever. We'll put a new trash bag in. It's fine. We wasted one trash bag. Boo. You know, like nothing.
We didn't waste it. It's not like it was empty.
We didn't waste it.
It was like 3/4 full.
But you know what I mean. So, like, I got over it quickly within myself. But of the big things, the most important things, the kind of things that would fester and that wouldn't allow a relationship to progress because somebody would remain angry about it, which is what it sounds like with the fights that you might have had in your past relationships.
Yeah.
You gotta work through them. I know that it's important to sit down and hash through and go, okay, we got to get the root to this problem, and we got to figure out the way to be okay with our progression of this problem, because that's the thing. He's not going to learn it right away. I'm not going to learn it right away. We have to put ourselves in the right path of progression and evolution from the problem when it's big, I mean, of course.
Yeah. And that's true. And I love that, too. I love that, you know, we're in a mature relationship. Like, I'm trying to remember, like, with...
I know, you might not think I'm mature, but there's certain things I'm pretty mature about.
You're mature behind closed doors.
No, I'm mature I'm mature in certain regards. It's not about just behind closed doors or in front of closed doors. It's totally about picking and choosing which regards I want to be grown up in. Grown up.
Obviously, it's not talking. No, but it's, like I said, it's very nice. Because I know in past relationships, it's funny, like, they all start out really wonderful. Like, it's that honeymoon phase. It really is. And then, after a little time, the real person starts coming out. And it's like, sometimes you don't want to face it. This is who this person really is, because you're so enamored with, you know, who you want them to be, who you thought they were, or, you know, you're just still, like, so emotionally tied to the good times that you initially had. You're like, no, this is... You know, this okay, she's, you know, she's okay, she's in a bad mood, but this is, she'll be back to that fun, sprightly little, no, she's a narcissistic little bitch.
Who, me?
No. If there's anything now you are a little narcissist.
No, narcissism has a different explanation. Sometimes I have a tiny bit of an ego, but that's not narcissism.
What's the difference between being egocentric and being narcissistic?
But being narcissistic is an explanation of the whole person, that they are always on that's what they're always doing. To be a narcissist or to have narcissism or practice narcissism would be that is a character. That's a character trait of you all the time. I am not narcissistic all the time at all. Like, almost.
But you're narcissistic about not being narcissistic.
No, baby. The difference is that the narcissism comes from being a total egocentric situation all the time. I admit that I have egocentric moments, but because I'm not egocentric all the time, that would make me not a narcissist. A narcissist would mean that it usually revolves around you. Your life and your experience is all that you really concentrate on. You're narcissistic if you do that. But if you have an ego, which we all do, and the ego comes out in different ways, all of us do it, there are times when I am egocentric. I will admit to that. There are times, more times, when you are egocentric.
Yeah, but what I was also saying is you have a tendency to be so... Like, you have a tendency to almost... And I don't think you realize you do it sometimes, but to remind people how... giving and selfless you are, which is almost like a passive-aggressive narcissism.
Passive-aggressive narcissism.
Like, you're saying it not in a direct way, but in a way where you almost, I can't explain it. Like,
I just like to verbalize love a lot. So I verbalize.
But you verbalize how loving you are and what you do to give.
Not to people all the time. Like, I don't go around, like, running around the world going, hey, I give to you. Be aware of that. Like, I don't do that.
No, but I hear you say it a lot.
Well, that's because you're my husband. You're with me all the time.
Yeah, but, again, I'm just telling you about a trait
that
you have.
Well, sometimes I may be trying to also impress upon the people that I say this around, hint, hint, wink, wink, that it is an important trait to have.
I never said
so
it
I'm
wasn't.
A tiny bit. So maybe I'm a tiny bit narcissistic around you, about my loving and givingness.
Well, as long as you're aware of it.
No, but I'm narcissistic is not the word. I'm egocentric, and I do want to let you know how giving I am, because I think being giving is a very important thing, and sometimes when I don't think that you're being giving, then I want to say it and reiterate it, that it's an important trait to have. And on that note...
You want to switch gears, baby?
We could.
Okay.
But anyways, no, I find it very surprising how well we do work together.
Yes. That is what, like, it really... You know, they always say relationships, it's like a team effort, blah, blah, blah. It really is, you know? You have to be in it, you know, 100% of yourself and, you know, always be there for the other person, giving as much as they are.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you give a little more than me.
And sometimes you give more than me.
Yay, look at that.
Yay, I gave him one, guys. I gave him one.
I was really expecting you to go, that is true.
And well, that is true, but there are times when you definitely... Look, here's the thing.
What's the thing, baby? Tell me the thing.
Here's the thing about broads.
All right, let me tell you broads. Let me talk to you about your fucking broads.
Bobby Slayton. Okay, anyway. So, the thing is that a lesser person than Flip, upon being told, hey, you don't really know how to handle relationships, let's go ahead and sit down and fucking talk about some of these things and hash through how to, like, work together. That's the most important thing. Some lesser people would only be knowing of how they operated before, even if it was with no knowledge, and they would keep going and cause problems. But Flip, who has an ability to definitely, you know, be, you know, good of heart and good of nature, that he would, you know, be understanding that he didn't really know much, and that, you know, and this isn't, and I don't want, because sometimes Flip always goes, oh, well, you know, you are better than me or something like that. Like, I'm trying to come across like that. And that's not the case at all. I just happened to be in a 6-year relationship and a 2-year relationship before I even started dating. So it was like, I sort of figured out how to make a relationship last a long time, even if it wasn't the best thing for me. I still figured out how to, like, make the relationship work. Like, my 2-year wasn't as good for, like, we didn't click as well. I want to say it wasn't good for me, because everything is good. All the situations happen for a reason. But this person wasn't as completely clicky with me all the way around as maybe my 6-year and Flip is. So the fact of the matter that somehow we still made it work for 2 years was just a miracle. That, I think, like I said, just sort of came from the knowledge of the 6-year and how to sit down and
I see what you're saying, baby, and you're right. You are right.
So Flipper's a lamb.
Yes, and I am very happy that you're my wife.
I need to smoke a bowl. I'm all nauseous from this car ride.
Yes, Allison is going to smoke her bowl, whereas I, good friends, have not smoked since January 1st.
Yep, he's a lamb.
He's a suitor.
He's a suitor.
Oh, that's good, honey.
Hold on.
Make sure your microphone's turned off, because that is really loud, I can guarantee, the rushing of the air inside the car. Did you turn your mic off?
No.
Okay, well, before you open the window, please turn your mic off. Yes, Allison does not know technical ends of this podcast.
No.
Usually neither do I, so again, we make a good couple. Wow.
Like the sweetest lamb couple.
HOV lanes are fun. Hey, by the way, here's a mental or whatever note to anybody listening driving in the HOV lane. Stay off the person's ass in front of you. Do you understand how driving works? There should be one car lane for every 10 miles you're going. I'm going 70, and there is at least 7 car lanes between me and the last car. I'm looking at my rear view. There is maybe 2 car lanes between me and the car behind me.
They're just saying, go faster.
Well, I am going fast. I'm going just above the speed limit, honestly. And I'm driving safe. What's wrong with driving safe? You have that crawl up your ass. Allison is like the worst driver.
I'm not the worst. Okay, I have never, ever, ever had an accident in my life, and
drive very, very haphazardly.
No, I don't.
You drive fast. You drive very fast, and you kind of veering in and out.
Well, you're making it seem like I drive like a
you
crazy person.
You are a horrible, awful driver.
No, I'm not. No, I seriously.
No, but you're worse than me. I
no,
drive very
about
safely.
Worse. He just
you
drives very
shit.
Defensively. I drive offensively. That's the difference.
Yes,
that's all.
But you give me shit about it.
Well, because sometimes he's really a grandma driver. Like, there's a lot of times where you're the grandma driver. No, I understand. It's important to be safe. And
exactly.
I am safe. But at the same time, you there's very often, like, the choices that you make are sort of grandma-y. And it's adorable. And
because
I
go the speed limit sometimes?
No, just sometimes, like, the way that, like, I don't know. Just I can't even explain it.
Because I drive safely.
No, like, you'll drive, like... I don't know. I can't even, like, explain. Just, I'm trying to think of, like, an example of one particular situation. Where you, like... Oh, where, like, you could be turning... Okay, for turning right, you could be getting, like, fully over into the right-hand turning lane so that another person that's behind you in the regular right lane can pass you. But instead, like, you'll slowly veer over into the right turning lane, blocking all the people that are behind you, and then you'll turn right. Like, you do things that, like, it seems like a person who was a little older isn't aware of.
So you're saying I go into the right turning lane.
Like, in a weird
and then turn right.
No, but, like, late. Like, you could get into it immediately when it's available to you so that you're out of other people's way. That way you have the time to slow down. That's truly what you're supposed to do. So you have the time to slow down and make the turn correctly. But instead, I've watched you, like, slow down in the regular right lane, then get into the fucking turn lane right at the last second, and then turn. And you're like, but wait, you could have gotten over. So all these people, they didn't have to slow down with your brake. Like, people should never have to put on their brake if there's a right-hand turn lane. You should just move over and get out of the way. And to me, that's like a grandma's decision. Like, I would watch my mother do that kind of driving.
Well, I don't do that a lot.
But I've seen
but
you
when
do
I do,
like,
there's a
perfect
reason
example.
For it. There's a reason
the
for
reason
it.
The reason is cuz you're like doo 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 doo.
Oh,
doo,
shut.
That's
well,
just
Allison's
the
like, "Do I need to make a left?" Yes, turn signal. Fuck it.
What? You're okay, first of all. You're telling shit that's not even true.
That is true. I've seen you make turns without putting your signal on.
What are you talking about? Only if I'm in the fucking lane that designates it, so that obviously in that lane that would do it. But absolutely, I always use my turn signals if I'm to.
And
okay,
you speed and you veer.
I
in
speed
and out.
10 miles over the speed limit, if that. If we're on the highway, maybe 15. But you're making it seem like I'm some crazy
You've
pants
killed
person.
Killed children. You have
listen
driven
to him.
Through
what
playgrounds.
An asshole! Don't
You've
even say, don't even joke about things like that.
And
don't
then,
joke about things like that. Listen to him. He's trying to make it seem like I'm a terrible
honey,
person.
Honey, I remember you T-boned that school bus full of nuns and puppies. I saw it with my own eyes.
I'm not even going to answer this shit. This is just blasphemous.
Honey, I saw it. I saw you take your car.
Don't
and
you blaspheme in here. Don't you blaspheme in here.
You put machine gun turrets on the side of the car, and you took out an entire senior center.
Up already.
I saw you shoot down planes.
That's what I did.
Honey, I think it's time you own up.
Well,
you,
9/11
was
watched
you, honey.
Snails pass flip. Mm-hmm. Paint was able to dry before he was able to get a block down the road.
Did I kill the snails, though? No, I didn't. You, on the other hand, stepped on them. You hate insects. You kill insects everywhere in the apartment.
This is the most interesting podcast I've ever heard. I want to continue to listen to Flip blame random nonsensical occurrences on my pretend to be terrible driving.
The greenhouse gases are all your fault because you fart all the time without saying excuse
Global
me.
Global warming is because of your driving. It was you that melted the ice caps. Thanks, bitch.
Well, you started the ice age by driving slowly, fastly.
Obviously, we need to fix. See, he just has mind on driving because he's driving.
I
like a grandma, by the way.
I'm not driving. Really?
No, he's in the fast lane.
I'm in the hove.
But he's going 18 car lengths behind the person in front of him.
I actually remember just talking about HOV lanes years ago. God, a long time ago, like 1995. I got, or maybe 96. I got, Allison's rolling down the window, so I'm going to wait to tell this story. I was living in South Florida, and this local comic, a friend of mine, I forgot what the thing was. He got some deal with some local production company to do a sketch show. And I don't even, like, this is very early in my career. I don't even know if it was legitimate. All I knew was that they wanted me involved, so I was very excited. And I got my friend, who's now Allison's friend, Michael, involved, too. And Michael and I, it was a sketch show, and we came up with this idea called HOV Cops, which are basically cops whose whole job was to patrol the HOV lane, making sure everybody had two people in their car. And I just remember part of the payoff at the end was, like, they pull over this car full of Jamaicans, you know, with, like, dreadlocks, and there's weed smell, but there's, like, two of them in the car. So the cops are like, okay, you're okay. And they pull over this 80-year-old lady, and she's like, hello, and they beat her the shit out of her. Because she was driving in the HOV lane with nobody else in there, so.
That's hilarious.
I'm sure paper and the execution would have been a lot funnier than my explanation, but you see where I was going with that.
Yeah, it's funny. I like it.
That was fun. Like, the beginning of my career, I don't know, I think that it's probably with most people, when you start your career, there's a sense of, like, excitement, like, you know, this is going to be the start of, you know, everything, and everything is so new and exciting. I used to go to discover local open mics in Florida, and I'd meet other guy, you know, comics who were either starting or have been doing it a little while, and I was just enveloping everything and just taking everything in. And it was just an exciting time. And I guess with anything, you mature, you know. My career, my attitude has matured. You know, I'm now on the other end of that. I'm the one that the younger guys are looking at going, oh, my God, you've been doing it, and you've done this, and you've been there. Tell me about this. And I'm like, I look at that. I see myself in their eyes. It's very strange how it all kind of comes back, comes full circle. You know, as cliche as that is, it really does.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, you know what I thought was going to be my big break, honey?
What?
I'm not sure I've ever told you the story. I remember this is like the first kind of official.
Is that the Seinfeld comedy contest in the mall?
No. The Seinfeld stand-up comedy challenge, which was my first official credit, thank you very much, was just a local South Florida contest promoting Seinfeld going into syndication on Channel 39, WDZL.
Hey.
But no, my first like national quote-unquote thing, and to be honest, I don't know if it even ever aired. I got picked to be on America's Funniest People as one of the little video vignettes.
Ooh.
And I remember I did an audition at a club or somewhere, and they called me and said, okay, come down to this hotel in Miami. That's where we're doing all this. And I remember I was so excited, and I went down to this hotel, and I saw a couple local comics that I knew. And it was just basically doing like a five-second little bit. And I remember I taped it, and this old guy who was directing it, he was like, that was good, do it again. And I remember I went home that night and I just had these like stars in my eyes going, this is my big break, someone's gonna see this little 5 second stupid bit I did in America's Funniest People and it's gonna say that kid's a star.
Aww, my baby.
Like, that's the thing that I've learned. Like, I honestly, like, every break that I got, I thought this is gonna be it. And after so many times of going, this is going to be it, and then it's not it.
Because you've got to stop expecting life to do that for you. You can't do that.
See, to me, there's a fine line between expecting it and just, you know, putting it out there that it is.
Yeah, but no, but see, here's the thing. You expecting it in that level is a need. You have created a need for that to be your existence. It's different than just nicely going, this is the way it is. And you just kind of calm with that. There's a different feeling you're putting forward if you're saying, like, this is going to be it. Like, you're telling life that this is going to be it. It's putting too much pressure on the universe to provide that for you. It's not going to do it. Especially it's because you have now told the universe, sort of in your soul, that you need it to happen.
Well, whatever you want to say.
But now watch. You stop doing that and better things are happening for you. So what do you tell me about that?
I'm telling you that you're a wiener. No, I know. Well, it's, again, it's maturing, you know, and you get to this point to where you're exactly right. You don't need it. It'd be great if it happened, but you don't expect it. Like, there have been things this year that have been wonderful, and I won't lie. Like, I think to myself, oh, it'd be so cool if this happened. Like, if this one thing led to something else, which could be huge. But I'm not dreaming about it every night, you know, putting all of my energy and my, you know, my emotional eggs in one basket, you know, just thinking like, you know, if this doesn't come through, my career's dead. Because I've had those moments before, like with Star Search, I thought after that whole debacle, my career was over. And with Last Comic Standing, I thought, oh my God, you know, this is going to be it. This is all the peak of my career is just getting this far in Last Comic Standing. And since then, there have been bigger and better things that have come my way. You know, and I realized, like, it's all, every little thing that happens is just one little, as Pink Floyd would say, it's just another brick in the wall, you know?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, though, like, it, what I'm really figuring out is career is great, you know, and as long as I'm, you know, on this still upward trend, I'll be very happy for the rest of my life, you know? But what really matters at the end of the day is, you know, who's in your life. The connections that you make and the people that you have surrounding you. Are they good people? Do they make you feel better about yourself? Or are they people that are draining?
And like, we had a great group this weekend. Love group, yeah.
But not just me on Friends, you know, good partner in life. Oh, I'm sorry, babe. I meant to just give you a little nudge. Like, I'm talking about you.
And I'm like, look.
You know, good family, good attitude, health. I got to start taking care of ourselves a little better.
Yeah.
Or I should. I'm.
Yeah, you got to just stretch that knee more and do more walking with it, because you can't. We were doing a baby hike this weekend, and it wasn't even a real hike.
I got that. Let me tell you, kids listening, to all the children out there who might be listening to this.
Take care of your knees.
Take care of your knees.
Ladies, like, get off of them. Just lay the guy down if you got to do something.
No, ladies, you stay on them. Women's knees were built for that. But guys.
Ladies, get knee pads. Take care of yourself while you're being a whore.
Your knees are very important, and you forget about that sometimes.
Well, that's why I say, as long as you stretch, and we should do this kind of, you know, action more, you'll be fine.
Where are we in time, by the way?
Oh, we're going to be home in like 15 minutes.
No, I meant on the recorder there.
Perfect. It's 41 minutes by the time we're home, yeah.
So we will keep this little podcast. How you say in Russian? This is my podcast. I am doing a podcast in the car right now with Alison Weber Schultz.
Yep, I'm officially, I don't know if we've talked to them, if I've been on enough to say, guess what, everybody? I totally am officially a legal Schultz. And I know you'd be like, wait a minute, weren't you married for like almost 3 years now? Yeah, hi, I procrastinate, and it just wasn't like, I don't know, didn't seem like it had to be done right away, and then just time kind of like elapsed, and I was like, oh shit, it's been almost 3 years, like I should do it.
Yeah.
So now I'm officially a Schultz. Oh, I still have to call and cancel, tell my credit cards to put under.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. But anyway, blah,
I know,
blah, blah.
There's no way out, honey. You are officially, legally,
I'm a
mine.
Schultz. See, but that's that.
Mine.
These are the aspects of marriage that make me not like marriage. I don't like the idea of being owned. I'm just saying this for opinion on marriage as a whole. I don't like the idea of like ownership of a person. I think that I'm honoring my husband by taking his name, but I've also kept my entire full legal first name as the first part of my name. So I'm Alison Doreen Weber Schultz. Doreen. That's right, everybody. I'm revealing right here. Alison Doreen Weber Schultz.
Well, Alison Doreen Weber Schultz, welcome to the Schultz clan officially.
Thanks, Maggie. Love you. You're my
And
man.
She was grown up for
I was
grown
up
minutes.
For about, yeah, something like that. I can go back. I just like to goo-goo you. And when I goo-goo you, it likes to go up in my voice. So, yeah, no, I know what you mean, though. But back to what you were saying about the growing and the learning.
Yes.
But I just came at it from a different way. Like, I knew it wasn't going to be, like, I never expected the next thing to be my hit, like, to be the thing that was going to, like, all of that happened. And I think I've told this story many times before, so I'll give the quick lowdown for somebody who might have never listened before. I started in extras, like, being an extra. And the first extras thing I ever was in Miami, I was one of 500 people in, like, a huge stadium for a Gatorade commercial. I just fell in love with the process, and I went into doing more.
But so you kind of fell into entertainment.
But I knew I wanted to do it. So that was the thing. Like, I kept putting it out, but not a need. Just like a, oh, yeah, that's what I'm doing. Like, that's what I am. Like, that's what I do. And then eventually the road just laid itself out by what I told it to do. I had a great job. I was at one job for 6 years, and I just kept getting promoted. And when I left, I was an assistant manager, and I could have stayed there and risen up the ranks continued, you know, and that was not
you
where my heart was.
Risen up the ranks continued?
I meant to say continually, but risen up the ranks continuously. Yeah, I don't know. I just smoked a bowl in the daytime and my stomach hurts, so I'm just speaking as much as I can speak. But
talk good, you do.
I do talk good. I's gonna go to McGee. That means school. So,
that means school?
Yeah, I's gonna go. I's gonna go. I apostrophe S.
Our kids are gonna be so fucked up grammatically.
Look, I'm just playing. I fucking know how to speak. I'm just...
No, you talk like this normally, even when we're not on the air. That's what... I don't want to say concerns me, but I know that you're going to talk that way around
our kids.
Oh,
please, if I'm talking to normal people, not just you, I know how to speak.
But what I'm saying is when we have a kid, you are going to be baby talking the
shit
out of that
kid. Well, I might baby talk the kid a little bit. Well, I mean, because that's the point. They're a baby. I baby talk my little lammy niece, but I'm also, hey, you've seen me with our niece. You mean to tell me that you'd be worried as a mother what I would do? What
we're
do I do
around
with her?
Our niece collectively 10 days a year.
But it doesn't matter. But do you see the way I am with her? I baby talk at the same time where I'm also
I know, but you know, by the way,
like
she's like
going to
be 4 and a half. She's not a baby anymore.
I know.
You can't baby talk around her.
Hey, your brother still calls her baby, and that's what I do. Baby. She's a baby.
No, not calling her baby. Talking like a baby.
Look, I know how to... You don't have to fucking try to put me on trial here. Like, everything that I'm doing, you're like, by the way, doesn't she suck at driving? By the way, she might ruin our kids because she'll baby talk them. No, this is like what you said this whole time.
And you've been busting my balls, too. That's what we do.
I didn't bust your balls. You
busted my balls about driving.
Well, because you opened it up with me driving first. I had to retaliate.
It's because, you know, you ran into the flock of seagulls. Not the birds, the actual band. You killed them. And then they had to run. They ran so far away.
All day, everybody. All day.
All right, we are almost home, so why don't we go to a little part of the show, honey?
No, we've only been doing 45 minutes.
What's that?
We've only been doing 45 minutes.
I know, but we're 5 minutes away from home.
Okay.
So why don't we get to the part of the show that
we were talking about something. I wanted to wrap that up.
Okay,
hold on a minute. You just threw me off. What were we talking about?
You're talking about Lily?
No, we were talking about before that. You interrupted me because I said, oh, yeah, I was talking about the...
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
So annoying with you sometimes.
Yeah.
Okay, so, no, we were talking about... Because you were bringing up what you thought was your first... You know, like chances and whatnot. That's right. I was talking about, because you made fun of me on saying continued.
You're talking about your day job.
I could have stated that. Exactly. So, yeah, instead of ending where you're making me defend myself and arguing with me, can I finalize the story?
Finalize the story, my dear.
But, anyways, life provided me the road based on the fact that I knew that I wasn't set to be at this job. And continue to just rise up the ranks. That wasn't what I was meant to do. I was putting it out what my desire was, but I didn't need it. I was happy with whatever I was doing. So life provided me this, and every chance that I had, I never thought it was going to be my big break. I just went, wow, that's really amazing that this just happened. I was always grateful and loving to it, which is why I think there hasn't been too many things that have happened that have like crushed my spirit about this industry. A lot of people I talk to in this industry do feel like, you know, it's always hurry up and wait. You know, you always hear something about the industry that's looked at negatively. I haven't experienced that yet, but I think it might just be because I've never needed or looked at anything negatively to begin with. I just always took this as being a beautiful experience, so.
Oh, I got you, baby.
Anyway.
And it can be. This experience, this... I mean, you know about this, and we'll wrap it up after this. This weekend, I had, like, this real kind of moment of clarity where we were sitting, I think we were having dinner or something, in this really nice house up in the mountains with some great friends, and you know, we were drinking wine and beer or whatever, and I just went, you know what, like, this is great. I am so blessed to be here with great
grandma.
People.
He's doing a grandma move right now.
What?
I said initially you were not doing the move that I suggested.
Well, because it was a car came behind me. I wanted to make sure I could beat it before I darted into the lane. It's not a grandma move. It's a safety move.
Grandma. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. But anyway, we are a minute from home, so why don't we wrap this up real quick?
We can still keep. You were talking about something important. I think that as long as we're talking about something important, who cares if we're almost home? We have.
Well,
this is 10 minutes
to,
left.
We're gonna have to. Not necessarily, honey. Because we're gonna have to bring all the luggage up, and we gotta.
We can't sit in the car for 2 minutes to finish this.
You want to sit in the car and
okay,
talk
go
in
ahead,
front of our
go
apartment?
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. So. I would just want it to go to 1 hour.
It doesn't have to go to 1 hour, honey. There has been shows that have been less than an hour.
I didn't know that. I thought we always go to 1 hour.
No, we
or
don't,
more.
Honey. This is why I'm the technical guy. You're just a pretty voice.
So, then, go ahead.
You know what it's time for.
My favorite time of the year.
Thanksgiving?
No. Skipmas.
It's the Skippy Green Show.
Hello, Chipmunk.
Hello, Skippy.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, you sound like you got my dick in your mouth.
Well, don't I?
Not yet.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was just a little morsel of food in my teeth. Oh, Skippy, Skippy.
See, this is the reason you don't headline. All right. Are you ready?
As I'll ever be.
I answered a question in 10 words exactly. Not 11, not 9, 10 words.
10, mm-hmm.
If
and
you,
the whore here will count for me.
If you could have any job involving being naked, what would it be and why?
I don't know. I'm just reiterating the question to myself.
Actually, let me reword it. If you could do any job, but you had to be naked while doing it, what job would it be? She's counting right now.
I would be Scooby-Doo again, because... inside like sauna.
She speak like caveman.
I made it work.
You did.
10 words exactly. That's true, because I was Scooby-Doo and I used to wear the costume. So if I had to be naked, I'd be naked inside the costume, and then it's like a sauna.
Well, you Scooby-Dood.
I Scooby-Doo dude. And we have just pulled into the house. So we love you, everybody. Thanks for listening. See, whenever we're together, it's like we're doing a therapy session.
No shit.
We love everybody,
yes,
though.
Yes, but this weekend, Allison's in Fresno. Where are you at?
Fresno at the VFW Post something. Oh, shit. I got to look it up.
Well,
go
you
to
can go
like,
to your website.
Go to
right?
my website, yeah.
AllisonComedy.com.
Yep.
As always, guys, thanks for listening. FlipIsFunny.com, at Flip Schultz on Twitter. All the CDs, including Skippy Green's, available on iTunes. And for the next month, I will be performing on the Norwegian Getaway out of Miami. So if any of you happen to be going on that ship or want a fun thing to do for a week, come check out the Norwegian Getaway.
And I forgot, at Allison Comedy.
On Twitter. There you go.
Or AllisonComedy.com.
There you go.
Love you guys.
And we will see you next week. And you know what? I think what I'm going to do to close out this show, because I was talking about taking care of your knees, a little song from the late 90s that Baz Luhrmann produced based on an article about that a reporter wrote, saying what she has learned and a message to the class of 1997. And I still think this holds true today. So listen to this great little song, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.
Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 97. Wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you'll look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future, or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubblegum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Don't put up with people who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long, and in the end, it's only with yourself. Remember compliments you receive. Forget the insults. If you succeed in doing this, tell me how. Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. Stretch. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do with your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do with their lives. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds I know still don't. Get plenty of calcium. Be kind to your knees. You'll miss them when they're gone. Maybe you'll marry. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll divorce at 40. Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken on your 75th wedding anniversary. Whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much, or berate yourself either. Your choices are half chance. So are everybody else's. Enjoy your body. Use it every way you can. Don't be afraid of it or what other people think of it. It's the greatest instrument you'll ever own. Dance. Even if you have nowhere to do it but in your own living room. Read the directions, even if you don't follow them. Do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly.
Brother and sister, together we'll make it through. Someday our spirit will take you and guide you there.
To know your parents. You never know when they'll be gone for good. Be nice to your siblings. They're your best link to your past and the people most likely to stick with you in the future. Understand that friends come and go, but with a precious few, you should hold on. Work hard to bridge the gaps in geography and lifestyle, because the older you get, the more you need the people you knew when you were young. Live in New York City once, but leave before it makes you hard. Live in Northern California once, but leave before it makes you soft. Travel. Accept certain inalienable truths. Prices will rise. Politicians will philander. You too will get old. And when you do, you'll fantasize that when you were young, prices were reasonable, politicians were noble, and children respected their elders. Respect your elders. Don't expect anyone else to support you. Maybe you have a trust fund. Maybe you'll have a wealthy spouse. But you never know when either one might run out. Don't mess too much with your hair, or by the time you're 40, it will look 85. Be careful whose advice you buy. But be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. This dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth. But trust me, on the sunscreen.